Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the hit show Love Living Radio. Ignite your whole being with Emily Perkins on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Do you love your life? Are you truly free in being your authentic self? In a stress-filled world full of distractions, Love Living Radio is a space to explore how mindful presence can steer you toward an ignited life. What does a life you really love look like? Emily shares her innermost vulnerabilities and breaks down barriers through conversations about sex and relationships, the magic of plant medicine, and so much more in order to share the power of living your life with love and loving the life you live. Now, here's your host.
That intro always gets me. It always makes me feel really vulnerable, which is perfect because today is going to be really vulnerable.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Living Radio. I am your host, Emily Perkins, and I am so excited about tonight. I've been kind of like giddy slash nervous slash crazy excited for like months, honestly, because I think we started talking about this weeks ago. So for those of you who have not had the incredible pleasure of meeting Natalie Vartanian, she is a facilitator, a coach, an author, and a just all around goddess of a woman. Natalie, I'm so excited to have you here tonight.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm ready to dive in.
Oh my God. Yeah. And for those people out there who are listening, Natalie and I found each other through kind of like a divine moment where she and her then partner were doing a webinar for my coach training program. This was, I think it was like 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago.
Easily, yeah. 3 years ago, yeah. Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, oh God, yeah, you guys are doing a webinar about sex. I'm in. And saw you and just kind of knew. Like, I was like, okay, I need to work with her. And I waited all year long. And then in February, and I realized this today, actually, when I was in my treatment room, which has my little like coach training program certificate on it, which is like a marker for me. I was like, it's been exactly 2 years since you and I worked together.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And even weirder full circle, it was right after I did my solo trip to Costa Rica the first time 2 years ago that I started working with you. And now I leave next week to go back to the same place. And I'm talking to you on live video radio.
Wow.
All right.
I think there's just universe is very loud right now. Yeah. Oh my God. I love those full circle moments.
Yeah. Like crazy multiple full circle moments. And I think it was also just like divinely timed that we're talking about sex the day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't even put that together when we picked the date and all of that. So yeah, I think it is pretty perfect.
I know. It was crazy. Cause literally like this was just happened to be the next available day that we were going to do. And I was like, oh, let's do this day. And then I realized, oh my God, it's the day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Love it.
So perfection. So yeah, Natalie and I have known each other for about 2 years. She was my coach. So I hired her as my coach when, oh God, I felt like I was just like kind of lost in my own sexuality. Mm. Like I really, it had been kind of stuffed so far down for so long that I didn't even really know that part of me anymore. And having you come into my life when you did was like, oh God, the most amazing godsend. But the word blossom always comes into my mind when I think about my time with you. Like I felt like I just blossomed into the sexual being that I always knew I was, the woman that I always knew I was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Permission comes to mind. Like you finally giving yourself permission to be that sexual being. Because you are, you're such a hot mama, you know, and healthy sex drive and being able to celebrate that, I think was something. And that word keeps coming to me these days of, I don't want people to just be okay with their sex. I want people to be able to celebrate their sex, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how would that be?
Oh my gosh. Oh, and like, every time I think about sex and like the gift that it is, you know, to be able to experience sex the way that we do as humans, so fully embodied, you know, like we get to experience it emotionally, physically, mentally, unlike most other beings, you know, it's like such a beautiful gift.
Right. I mean, there's so many facets, you know, the spiritual part, the carnal part, it can be super silly and fun, and it can be super serious and deep. And there's just so much range. And I feel like most of the time we only know like this much of it. And there's like this huge range to it. Like that we don't even realize is possible.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you just said that, because that was something that I was thinking about the other day, was like when we, because in the show title, it's like sneaky sex sabotages to good sex, good/connected sex.
Yeah.
And, you know, good sex can look really different for a lot of people. Right. Pretty much it's a completely unique experience. But, and like you just kind of like we're talking about like the carnal and the passionate, romantic, sweet side and the funny, goofy side. You know, there's like so many different ways that good sex can show up.
Right. Yeah. Which I think to me is the exciting and the fun part is like if you're able to go into it with that curiosity and that wonder and surprise, like, I don't know what today is going to be like, right? I don't know what our connection is going to be like today instead of this. And maybe that's, you know, one thing around like a sabotage-y kind of thing we do, right? Like we kind of go in assuming that it's going to be a certain way and not being curious about how it could be or what it wants to be. Every time can be different, you know, and not because we're doing anything different, but we're always changing. We're in different moods and emotions and, you know, so kind of like allowing it to evolve and change and have that range that we keep talking about instead of kind of already putting it into a box of what it's gonna be.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I totally know for sure myself that I have absolutely put that box in place, you know, like the fantasy or like how I think it should go or like how in my mind I picture this going can a lot of the time, at least for myself, instantly like cut off the connection both to myself and like the actual present moment of like being with that person and what's real and what's showing up for both of us. And it just ends up being like, oh, like a disappointment in my mind because it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, which is just a total sabotage for both of us.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, I get why we do it. You know, I get that sex is scary. The vulnerability of it. Right. And we just, you know, humans in general want to control and know what's happening and not be surprised, or, you know, we don't like change. And, you know, so there's just so many ways we try and control the whole thing, guilty as charged as well. And you're right, but it robs everybody involved from a really deep, beautiful connection. It really does.
Yeah. It really does. And like a deep, beautiful connection can look really rough and it can look really sassy and it can look really playful and it can look really sweet. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind myself of that all the time because the part of me that's like, oh, it has to be deep and passionate and connected. We have to be looking into each other's eyes the whole time. And we have to be feeling each other's energy and having tantra moments the whole time, which are, I mean, those are
great. Yeah.
Moments.
Totally. Yeah.
It's just maybe not going to be what happens every time.
Right. And I mean, for as much of a, like a spiritual person as I am, and I like kind of spirituality in sex or to kind of feel that connection, most of the time I just like it like rough and kinky, you know? And, and I used to have such a judgment around that where I was like, what's wrong with me? And, yeah. And feeling like that's not connected in some ways, like, 'cause I think there is this association with like BDSM and kink and that kind of rough play that's not connected. Like people are detached and objectifying and it's like, yes, yes. And that's not necessarily true though. I mean, there's a lot of connecting that has to happen to even create enough safety to be able to even play like that, you know? And so like even that kind of myth busty piece of the judgments we have, right? Around, so, you know, another like way we sabotage, right? There's just so much judgment we have about sex and how it should look and what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad. And like, who fucking says? Like, who says? Ugh.
Yeah. Seriously, who says?
Who says?
It's like one of the most beautiful ways that we can experience connection and freedom. Yeah. And yet we strap it with all this crap that says, if you think this way or if you want that, if that's what you're desiring, you're wrong. Or like, you know, the stuff that you have in your mind or the desires that you have are somehow bad.
Right.
You know, like it just, it literally feels like it's like a pinch in a tube, you know, which it, to be honest, it stops the flow for everybody.
Yeah.
Like physically it stops the flow. Yeah. And mentally and emotionally it stops the flow.
Yeah. You know?
Like all of these sabotage methods that we're going to talk about today essentially just like stop the flow.
right. And again, like I just kind of want to preface all of this with, you know, and none of this is being said to make anyone wrong. Because again, back to like, this is how things get wonky and it doesn't feel good. It's because everything gets put through this filter of right and wrong. And it's like, we just have never had the permission. We've never seen sex as good. We've never been told sex is good. We've never like been allowed to explore our sex. Like we don't know better, you know? And so like no one's wrong for doing any of this, you know? It's this unlearning process so that we can kind of get to the connection and the goodness of the sex.
Mm-hmm. The image that I just had in my mind was from The Princess Bride when she has the chastity belt on and they're trying to get the chastity belt off. And it's kind of like peeling back the layers of armor that we have around our own like really vulnerable, really sweet, luscious, sensual side that just wants to acknowledge what we want and what we need.
Yeah.
And it's like finding the keys to unlock all of your metal underwear.
right. I know. Because what are we doing? We're just basically not allowing ourselves to feel like exquisite pleasure. It's like we're torturing ourselves. We're not allowing ourselves to have that experience of just bliss, you know? And like our bodies are made for this.
Mm-hmm. Literally, like there's a reason why we can feel pleasure and other animals can't.
Right.
Like that was a gift that we were given that is meant to be used.
I went to Mama Gina's experience in New York. So she's the woman that wrote Pussy, a reclamation. and also Mama Gina's School of Womanly Arts. And she has some of her people are walking around with shirts that say 8,000 nerve endings, right? Because like her whole thing is like, hello, like the clitoris is like literally made like women's bodies. You know, we literally have this clitoris that's its only job is pleasure. Like there's no other function for it, right? And it's like, oh yeah. And I want to say she said something about like men's, it's like 4,000 or 5,000 nerve endings.
Wow.
But like literally women have a body part that is only made for that, you know? Like use it.
God, that just like opened up so many things in my mind. You know, like one, the divine like bliss of sensuality, especially that it's gifted to women. And you know what? This is just my total like unfiltered honesty, but like we deserve it. You know, like, I'm sorry, but like, we also have to birth children out of that same area. We have to endure quite a lot of pain almost every month. So, you know, it's kind of like the bonus. It's like, yes, you have to have a cycle and bleed every month. And yes, you have to like go through immense
amount of pain.
That's a good point, Emily. I'm going to give you something really nice just for you.
I love that theory. I love that theory.
Yeah.
True.
So the moral of the story is embrace your clitoris.
Right. Another sabotage, not using your clitoris.
Yes, that is for sure a sabotage. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. It's so true. I mean, even as a teenager, I didn't realize that that was what actually felt good. Like, it's funny because as a little girl, I think I did. As a little girl, I played with it a lot. And then as a woman, it's funny. I like thought that it was all about like your fingers and figuring that out. And it was really only, I think, when I started to get really comfortable with my own body, which to be honest was when I started working with you. So in like probably in my late 20s, early 30s, when I like really embraced pleasuring myself, which, you know, I got off so much quicker when I actually worshiped that beautiful little part of my body.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. I do. And I mean, I still sometimes think, you know, kind of zooming out a little bit of like, I don't know how I got chosen to be the kind of deliverer of the sex message, considering I didn't have that experience. I mean, I masturbated growing up and there still was so much about it that felt really shameful for me and felt wrong. I mean, for a while, I thought it was asexual, because I just was so scared of sex and the whole thought of it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go to hell if I have sex out of wedlock and that whole thing. But I think it saddens me to think how much like this thing that gives us life. I mean, it's why we're here. Mm-hmm. Like we wouldn't be here if sex wasn't a thing. You know, and it's just like, and the suffering that there is around it, like it just, yeah, it just saddens me to think how many people suffer around sex. And so kind of like going back to the, you know, another thing that I see that really kind of gets in the way of good sex is like, we don't do our healing work around it. So we just keep bringing the shame into the bedroom, right? And so it's like two shame bodies, like fucking, you know, versus like two open-hearted, like whole healthy people having sex and connecting that way. It's like, you know, like how can we connect when it's just like all of this like fear and pain and shame that's kind of running the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the letters written on our metal underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's like such a poignant like point to make about like the two shame bodies and like how the connection is so much different coming from that place than it is from a healed place. And even just for myself, having had that experience of like the disconnect that happens mm-hmm. both within myself and to myself yeah. and to the person that I'm with when it's not, you know, previously before doing the healing work around it. And now, I mean, there's still layers for sure, but like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I feel like there's always layers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our womb space is like this beautiful, like deep cavern where we just have like, where we put a lot of stuff because it's a dark place where we can kind of stuff down our emotions. But, mm-hmm. I do know that like, it's definitely a different experience feeling connected to another human being, like having another human being in my body from a conscious and healed place around yeah. sex. Yeah. Especially after healing trauma.
Right. Right. And yeah, exactly. Not to mention that, like there's so many of us that have experienced acute trauma around sex. And so like, then there's that whole element of it. Right. And then feeling like we can't talk about it with our partners. Right. Like, so that's that other place where we think for some reason talking about sex is going to like kill the sex or it's going to turn people off or right. Like they can't handle it. And all these things we make up around the conversation of it, but how can someone really be there for you? Right. And help you heal that or know to go slow or, you know, all of the things to help have a restorative sexual experience unless we talk about it and we share with our partners like, hey, I have stuff around sex, right? Or I experienced trauma around sex or like I still have this belief, you know, and I actually said that to someone recently, like, I still have this thing about assuming that guys just want me for sex, you know? And so I don't allow myself to kind of fully believe that like they care for me, you know? And I wouldn't have said that in the past, you know, like I just would have kept that to myself, but it felt good to let him in on that belief of mine, you know? And for him to be able to speak to it, you know, and to be like, I care about you, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, so to get the thing that I actually want and need, which is to know that the person cares. And then I can then fully receive the connection during sex, you know, but old Natalie wouldn't have said shit, you know, but I was like, my thing this year is transparency. Like, you know, I'm pretty good about the vulnerability part, but it's still very calculated. And transparency to me is like letting it all open, you know, and not picking and choosing the things and allowing someone to really, really see me, all of it, you know?
Yeah. Transparency. Oof. That gets me excited. It feels like a really fun and challenging edge. And yeah. And as you were talking about like, you know, speaking what the vulnerabilities are there or speaking the doubt or the fear or the all of the, honestly, it's basically all the stories that play out that are the sabotage.
Right.
Right. Like yes. The men don't want me unless it's for sex or I have the same thing or my body isn't perfect enough mm-hmm. or like real raw and dirty. Like I'm pretty sure every woman at some point has thought like, what if he doesn't like my vagina? Like, what if that, you know, like, what does it look like down there? What's he looking at?
Right.
You know, all of the thoughts and stories and
Yeah.
What do I look like from that angle? Or like, mm-hmm. oh, is he looking at my belly? Oh, just like, you know, like all of the stories
right.
are the sabotage. It's the thing that stops us from being able to experience connection and fully like just be present in the moment with what's happening with our bodies for both us and them.
Yeah. Right. Because it keeps us locked in our heads yeah. instead of being present with this other human being and heart, soul, mind, body connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I only recently, probably this year, have had partners where I've felt comfortable enough like to actually talk in bed because a big, like you were saying, a big piece coming out of my marriage was that talking about it kills it. And like kills it. And so I was really scared about that, but I've been so fortunate over the past year to be with men, especially my partner right now, who are just like so willing and wanting to talk, like want to know what feels good for me, want to like make sure that my experience is amazing. And it just helps me be so much more connected to my own body and so much more connected to them.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm a big fan of like before, during, after, and sometimes it might be tricky during, you know, cause it is a very like tender time, like during sex, you know, but I'm a big fan of at least like before and after, right? Like kind of talking about the things we like and don't like and our insecurities or fears, and then debriefing. Like I love debriefing after sex and like what worked, what didn't work, like what would you like more of, like how was that? And because it just, it does, it's like foreplay and then more foreplay. I don't know.
Yeah, well that's what I was thinking. I was like, well what if you let it be fun and sexy and sassy and like as a way of connecting you into more deep passionate sex that may be even better because you just talked about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Big fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
So we are going to take a break for a couple of seconds. Honestly, it's only going to be about a minute and a half.
Okay.
Just so that you all out there know you don't have long to wait. We're coming back very quickly to talk more about all of this sassy, sexy stuff. But thanks for watching. If you're out there, we're so excited to be sharing this with you.
Yay.
And yeah, woo! We'll be back in just a few short minutes. See you soon.
Did you know that when working with the law of attraction, it's beneficial to share your longings with a supportive tribe who can assist in maintaining accountability and hold the creative space for your desires to manifest? I'm Autumn Seibel, host of Golden Otter Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream. Join me each month at the new and full moon to plant your seeds of abundance, consciously tend to your intentions throughout the lunar phases, then harvest the fruits of your co-creation with the universe in my Lunar Manifestations members-only forum. Your tribe is waiting for you at goldenotter.us.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
Jazzy music. Yet another thing that we love and connect over is dance.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Way to be all sexy and sassy.
Sexy and sassy. Mm-hmm. I know. So, Natalie, obviously one of the most amazing things was in our relationship and that you've brought to my life is my connection with my sensuality. But I always tell you this too, that one of the greatest gifts you could ever possibly have given me was my connection to core. Mm. And in introducing me to them and bringing me in to that family and tribe. But the tribe is amazing, but like the work that I got out of that, you know, like mm-hmm. really realizing that so much this year that, because it was a year ago when I did my Radiant Woman.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Wow. So many crazy full circles. It's insane. But realizing that Radiant Woman and Nobleman were February and March of last year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how much healing has happened around my relationship with men and sex since then is like, it blows my mind. It's like night and day.
Yeah.
And like the intimacy that I have with men in my life now, like non-sexual, and sexual, is just like worlds different after doing those two workshops. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much that's there that gets in the way of us being able to be connected, and like generations upon generations upon generations, not to mention just the stuff in our lifetimes, right? Like stuff that happened growing up with our dad or mom or whatever, but there's just so much. I mean, in that way, I've always appreciated that about you, that you're so willing to just dive in and do the healing work and look at the things and do the work to repair, you know, what needs to be repaired and make space and open up. Like, it's pretty incredible that you're willing to do that. I don't think a lot of people are. It's scary.
It is. Yeah. And thank you. It's so interesting because the first thing that comes up, at least for me, was like a lens shift that happened for me probably when I first started doing or going down my own spiritual path, like 6 or 7 years ago, where like doing the work and healing myself, like all aspects of myself, became like this adventure. Like it became like what I call treasure hunting, you know, for the gems. And I guess the reason why I share that is because, you know, I think when we talk about doing our healing work so that we can show up connected and so vibrant and healthy in a sex life or with a sexual partner, like the healing work that leads to that doesn't always have to be like a struggle and hard and terrible, you know, like it can be so brilliant and powerful and freeing. And I think that's what keeps me coming back to it, you know, like knowing the freedom and the joy and the bliss and ease that comes from choosing to look at the darker stuff. So now I go looking for it. Now I'm like, ooh, give me that stuff. Give me that dark shit. Yeah. Oops. Sorry. I do.
Yeah. I said the F word.
I think there's going to be a lot of bleeps in this one.
Oops.
Uh-oh, I think we lost your... There you are.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I'm back.
You're back. Mulligan's up too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have this informal kind of mantra around like, if something is scary, then I know I have to do it. Like, I just that kind of lean in when something is like, I just know it's an edge, right? And so it's like, Okay.
Uh-oh. We lost you on that last bit. After the edge. What was after the edge?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that when something is scary for me, I know that means I'm reaching an edge. And that means I need to lean in and actually do it. Like, that's my indicator of, you know, even though I'm not sometimes that excited about it, but it's the, okay. All right. Let me just, because there's to me, it's liberation on the other side. It's not being weighed down by the fear, weighed down by the anticipation of all the things that can go wrong, and being open to what is available on the other side of that, which usually is more love, more connection, like you said, more joy, more freedom, more self-expression, right? Like being who we are truly in the world. Interesting. Beeping thing. Okay.
You're so hot, you're setting off the fire alarm.
I know. I was like, what is happening in this apartment?
That's like the cheesiest pickup line ever. You're so hot, you're setting off the fire alarm. I'm going to use that.
I'll take it. Take it.
It's so true, though. You know, like the love and the connection is the thing that's, or more love, more connection is the thing that's on the other side of choosing to do the hard thing, even if it's telling someone in bed what you might need, even though it feels super vulnerable in that moment. Or like choosing to take a breath and like allow that thought that says, I'm too fat, or I'm not pretty enough, or he only wants me because of my body. You know, like whatever the thought is, the shame, the fear, the doubt, like whatever it is that pops in there, that essentially, honestly, the way that I think about it is like it literally like cuts off like half of the nerve endings to your clit. You know, like it stops the pleasure and the ability for you to get like where you really want to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I love that you spoke to that place of, again, the not speaking up about what you need and what you want. And so, you know, going back to another like sabotage thing where we just expect our partners to be the masters of our pleasure, you know, and not feeling like we are the ones that are sovereign over our pleasure and our desire and our sex, and assuming that this person is going to know how to please you, you know, like you get to learn and then you get to teach this other person. And it's okay if you don't know. And maybe that's part of the fun too, of like, let's discover together, you know, but it's not putting the responsibility on somebody else. Like we get to have the responsibility for that. And that's such a sabotage thing that I see happens a lot, because we put the responsibility on our partners. And then if they're not doing a good job or doing it right or whatever, it's like, this isn't working. Of course it's not working. You just gave your whole power away to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that word, sovereign. And it is, it's so true. It's like this funny little thing where we just expect somebody else to know how to give us pleasure, to know what we need. And we do that everywhere in life, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
We always everywhere. Expect people to know what we need without ever saying it. It's the funniest thing. It's logically, it makes no sense. It's like, why would that person know
that
you need a hug right now if you didn't say it?
Right. And then we get pissed. It's like, I can't believe you didn't read my mind. Like, what?
What? Yeah.
And again, guilty. Like, I'm not, I'm like, all of this is like guilty. I've done that a ton. And I still do that around sex. Like, one of my partners not that long ago too, she was like, I really would appreciate you speaking up more. And I'm like, this is really scary. And it was scary for me too, in the, as I have historically not been with many women. I've been primarily with men. And so when I started dating, one of the women that I was with more regularly, or having sex more regularly with her, I realized, like, wow, this is a whole new ball game for me. Like, I've never been in this experience before. And I didn't know how to speak up about what I needed and wanted. And like, I was pretty tight-lipped, where I'm not as much with men. Like, I have no problem telling men what to do, but for some reason it was so hard with her. And it's like, well, that's my edge, like my growth edge, right? Like, this is an area that I need to work on. Otherwise, like, there's going to be a cap on our sex and the quality of our sex if I don't work on that, you know?
I love that, that there's a cap on your sex if we let our edges control the show instead of, like, the vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the courage to let ourselves be vulnerable. Because I guess in, like, what just came up for that, from that for me, is that, like, inside of allowing our vulnerability and our courage to be, like, the guiding force, like, oh my gosh, there's so much expansiveness available inside of sex.
Right.
Instead of that cap that happens when we don't allow the fullest expression of our own sensuality to come through.
Yeah.
Outside of the fears and outside of the stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much just those two, right? Like, all the stories we tell ourselves and all the things that we think are scary.
Yeah.
About sex or about connecting vulnerably with somebody else.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Those are the sabotage.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like the roots of, yeah, of everything. Everything else is like just sprouting off of those two.
Yeah. And, you know, for those of you who are listening or watching, like, maybe consider, what are the stories that you have? What are the fears and the doubts and the shame that you have that caps your sex, that caps your experience of your own body? Yeah. You know, I mean, I know that it's got me thinking, and I think about this all the time, but it's, you know, like, there's so many ways that we cap our own desire and pleasure and experience of sex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even, you know, what just came up after that was, even in, like, routine, you know, one of the things that I think also caps that, like, passion level is routine of, like, getting into, like, a, well, I know this works, so I'm just going to keep doing it.
Oh my God. Yes. I actually did think about that, because when I was on my flight today, I was thinking about some of the things that I wanted to make sure I covered. And that was one of them. So thank you for, like, reading my mind, because it's true. It just, again, we don't want change. Like, change feels scary. So we're like, I don't want to go swim into a territory where I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Oops, sorry. And then have to kind of be in a beginner mindset. But it is, it's such a killer sometimes around passion. I love the way that you said that. We just do the thing. And I had a partner like that. Like, I loved him and our sex was great. And at a certain point, I'm like, we do the same thing all the time. And just, and then I expect it. And then it's, like, not novel. And passion thrives on novelty. It really does.
Mm. And it's also, like, and again, this is not a make wrong, but it's also not fully being present with what is. You know, like, what you were talking about in the beginning made me realize how fun and creative it can be when you tune into your own, like, one, just what is absolutely present, and your own intuition of, like, where do I want to go with this? Like, how do I just trust myself to let this unfold instead of having it be like, it goes this way every time?
Right. Like, I've planned it out already. Like, from 10 to 10:15, you're going to go down on me. And then 10:15, 10:30, I'll go down on you. And then 10:30 to 10:45, then we'll have intercourse. And then 10:45, someone will orgasm, and then maybe we'll cuddle, right? Like, it just usually, like, that's kind of... Like, that's kind of how it goes, instead of
rinse and repeat.
Right. And rinse and repeat, instead of like, I don't know, what do my hands want to do today? What does my mouth want to do today? What does my pussy want to do today? Right. Mm-hmm. What is your pussy and or penis want to do today? Like, just, yeah, allowing ourselves to be that present and let the bodies guide. Instead of our mind, because that's our mind guiding. Because it's like, I know what will work. And so I'm just going to do the thing that I know will work.
Mm-hmm. It's the biggest difference. You just said it so perfectly. It's like the mind and the body. And for me, like when you first sent the emails talking about what topics we were going to talk about, and you said the sex sabotage, I was like, yes, that sounds amazing. That resonates. So excited. So I started thinking about all the ways that sex sabotage happens for me.
Yeah.
And my brain, I love you, brain. You're so brilliant and wonderful.
Yeah,
but
so brilliant.
God damn. Woo. It is like, I will either orgasm or not orgasm, have an amazing experience or not, completely dependent upon my brain. Completely.
Yeah.
And what happens to my body in that? Like what happens to this beautiful body that just either gets to feel worshipped and feel, you know, blissful, or I get to rob it of pleasure because my brain is not letting me just sink into the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, we can use our brain. It's kind of the same thing that they talk about meditation, right? Like, you can be a master of your mind, or your mind can be a master of you. Like, I love doing dirty talk, right? I love like when we tell stories, or when my partner's like, you know, giving me this like awesome visual. And so like, there's ways that we can use it to enhance our sex, but we are using it versus it using us, and then sabotaging the sex, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My mom, I hopefully she's not mad at me for sharing this, but mom, if you're watching, I'm really sorry. She's pretty open, so I think she'll be okay. Plus, okay, she's been one of my greatest sex guides since I first started. She's just been my number one supporter in a healthy sex life. And so I'm so grateful to her. But she is always like, she has two sayings. And one of them was actually like a slogan in my sex ed class in college. They're like Emily's mom says, wake up to an orgasm. Usually from yourself. She was like, Emily, you need to know how to get yourself off so you can teach other people. But she also was like, you need to have like a repertoire of fantasies and things in your mind. And that's what I was thinking about, like using your mind to be able to really enhance your experience. And I'm still working on that, on my repertoire. it's still cultivating, but I just love that she said that, because that
is
using your brain instead of letting it sabotage you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it might not be the kind of thing that your partner is into. You know, I've definitely don't do that with all of my partners. Like, there's certain ones where I feel like it's just more kind of feeds into our connection, and you know, it's like unique to us. It's not something where, again, like that I'm doing routinely, right? Where I'm like, with every single one of my partners, we're doing dirty talk. With every single one of my partners, we're telling stories. Like, it is still based on the connection, you know, but still it's like curiosity around how can I bring this in, you know, to help facilitate even more yummy, sexy goodness with this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it is like, if we want to have fully embodied sex, we need to incorporate all aspects of our being. And that is such a beautiful point, because it's not getting rid of your mind you know, like so many meditation techniques are like, oh, just don't think, just don't think. Your brain is there to think, like that's what it does. So I love that way of like allowing all aspects of your being to be present and allowing them to like almost like work together to create the most amazing, powerful experience for you and your partner.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yes. Mm. All of that, to all of that.
I feel like it takes a lot of practice.
Oh, it does. I mean, I think that's the part, like going back to what we have been talking about around, you know, being curious, you know, being, to me, it's like the, I love the kind of, not archetype, but maybe it is an archetype of the explorer, you know, and the adventurer, like that to me, it's the, bring that energy into sex, like be an explorer around sex, be an experimenter around sex and see what's there. And it, we never stop because we're always changing. So, and there's just more and more to discover. Like it's this huge, like I love what you were talking about, the womb and the like the cavernous kind of quality of it. I mean, I feel like sex is that way too. Like there's just so much to discover. Like sometimes I feel like I'm just barely scratching the surface of it myself. And I feel like I do a pretty good job of kind of being proactive around it, but there's still a lot that I don't. And there's still a lot that I want to do and I've wanted to try, but for whatever reason, feel reticent or feel unsure about or whatever. But just, yeah, to allow yourself to be in a place of exploration and curiosity around it.
Yeah. Which gets me so excited because so much of the time I think that we think that sex is just going to get stale as we get older or inside of a committed relationship or a marriage, you know, like, in, or even as we age, you know, like there's this funky story that a lot of society has that sex gets less exciting and less explorative as you get older.
Yeah.
And like what you just said just gets me excited. You know, like there's so much more to explore, even for someone like you who's been doing sex work for, I mean, you coach around it. Like you have an expertise in it and there's still more to like jump into and dive into.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I know. I feel, I've been like, and maybe it's because I'm hitting this new level of like excitement again of like, oh my God. Or just even thoughts I have around orgasms. Like I used to think that I could never orgasm like just vaginally, even though there's belief that the whole thing is the clitoris, right? It's just different functions of it. So it's whether it's kind of the external piece or the internal piece, but I never thought that I could have an orgasm from just internally, right? But recently someone just like fingering and had an orgasm and I was like, what the fuck was that? I know, it was fucking amazing. I was like, oh my God. Okay, there's so much I have not, my body has not experienced. You know, but it did. I have that story of like, I'm not that kind of a person or my body is not that kind of body. Mm-hmm. Such BS.
It's total BS. I never knew that my body, I hate the word squirt, but I call it the sacred river because that's what they call it in Tantra. But like, I had no idea that my body could do that. And then only in the past 2 years has that like unfolded.
Wow.
And it happened like 3 times in like 20 minutes with this masterful man who knew exactly what to do. But I had the same thing. I totally thought that my body couldn't do that. And then it magically happened. And I was like, oh, wow, there's like whole new levels to explore.
Yes, exactly. So moral of the story, everyone, there's a whole set of things that you have yet to discover.
The adventure is endless.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh, I could talk about this forever with you. So much fun.
I know.
Well, for those of you who are out there and joining us and watching this at some point, if you'd like to get in touch with Natalie, she is absolutely freaking amazing. If you haven't already gathered that from this episode. And Nat, how should they get in touch with you, and for what?
Yes. So you can go to either my name, nataliebartanian.com, or thisturnedonlife.com. And you can get in touch with me for coaching. I do coaching. I also do tarot readings, just as a fun aside. And also I am in the process of writing a book, lovingly call it a self-help erotica memoir. And so you can get on the list to find out when that comes out, through the website as well.
Amazing. I know, I'm buying that book. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Oh my God. well, thank you for sharing this amazing, crazy, sassy, sexy space. And for those of you out there, if you would like more information, you can find us on thetransformationtalkradio.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can go to lovelivingholistics.com. There's lots of exciting stuff happening for 2019. So thank you so much. We're wishing you just the most wonderfully sassy, sexy, passionate Valentine's Day. And we wish you so much love in your life. Thanks, guys. Bye, Nat. Love you.
Bye. Love you.
To Love Living Radio, ignite your whole being with Emily Perkins. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Emily shares the power of living your life with love and loving the life you live. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com. That's LoveLivingHolistics.com. See you next time.